It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
We are brought to you, I always like to say, we are powered by Pinnacle Racing. Thank you so much, Jimmy Blair, for all the support. Look for Jimmy. Look for Pinnacle Racing at PinnacleRacing.com. I know as Nationals is just so close, you're going to be able to find Jimmy in Lincoln at Nationals. But as we lead up to that, any of your skate needs, please reach out to Jimmy Blair, Pinnacle Racing at PinnacleRacing.com. And Coach, we are talking officiating on Skate Talk today.
We are absolutely talking officiating. We're talking about from the very beginning to where we've gotten to and where we're going. And I can't wait to talk to Justin Foster here in just a few seconds.
Justin Foster is next on Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach is proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. Now is the perfect time to get into a new boot from Pinnacle Racing. I've been skating and racing on Pinnacle since 2008, and for me, there is no other choice. From the fit, the durability, the performance, the customer service, nothing beats a Pinnacle. Pinnacle boots are what's on the feet of our country's top skaters, and they can be on your feet too. So here's what you want to do. Check out PinnacleRacing.com. Reach out to Jimmy Blair. You can see all the options available from stock to custom. Jimmy can even send you a casting kit, or better yet, you look for Jimmy at a race or a skate meet. And trust me, he's a plenty of those. He's going to give you and your feet the attention you deserve. Plus, Jimmy is doing some incredible things with the look of the skates. He did Transformers-themed skates for me, and the possibilities are limitless for what he can do for you. I'm talking totally personalized skates. Once you're at PinnacleRacing.com and you see what he can do, I'm telling you, you're going to start drooling, okay? I already have like five ideas for what I want to do next. The equipment truly is important in skating. Get yourself the best. Inline boots, quad boots, cycling shoes, you name it, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. PinnacleRacing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And however you get to your podcasts, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you check out Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. A great archive of shows you can listen to. We're on iTunes. Again, any way that you access podcasts, you can find us. Subscribe at our Podomatic page. Just search for Skate Talk. You'll find us. Subscribe. You get a notification saying when there's a new episode. And it's as simple as that.
Absolutely. And with no further ado, we have Justin Foster on the line. Hey, Justin, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys? Great.
Not bad. How was your travels going home from regionals?
Oh, it was great. It was great. And I am here in 85-degree weather in sunny Arizona.
We hate you, my friend. We hate you.
No, we actually have where we're at. Temperature-wise, it's decent, but the winds are about at 40 miles an hour right about now.
Wow.
And I was out skating in it earlier, not really thinking. I knew the wind was bad, but as I'm outside and massive headwind, which, of course, as I was going uphill, my whole route, which was an uphill, was into the wind. And then as I was going back, it was uphill into the wind as well. So there you go.
So to be honest with you, my drive-in, I didn't notice it at all.
Oh, you suck. You suck. Well, again, Justin, thank you for taking the time to join us. And just fresh off of doing regionals, I know we want to get into that and some of the things that you saw and participated with in regionals, but we always like to talk a bit about background.
We'd
like to know, the beginning, how you got involved. Tell us everything.
Yeah, skating's in my blood. Anyone who knows me knows that my dad skates, and not just skates, but coaches speed, coach derby. Has done art. He probably doesn't want anybody to know that, but did art. Former world champion. Tammy, she does tabulating. She's a former national champion in her own right. And Jasmine, my sister, up and coming. She's been, surprising a lot of people lately.
Yeah.
The last 2 years. You know, I started skating probably about when I was 9 years old. I've been refereeing for about 15 years. I'm only 28 years old. So I've been doing that since I was about 14 or so, and that's kind of where I found my niche. I was always competitive when I skated, but wasn't at the level of my dad or my stepmom Tammy or even Jasmine.
Yeah.
Kind of refereeing is where I found my niche.
Nice.
Now, did you find it? Because you just said you started officiating at the age of 14. I'm curious if you're 14 years old, you're officiating, and you're officiating athletes that are older than you. Was there any issue with that?
Not early on. I was just doing a lot of local meets. I was kind of brought up in the Keystone Speed League, and so did a lot of those meets early on. and got to do a couple invitationals. So I didn't have any issues. I wasn't a chief referee at that point, but was kind of just one of the crowd. And didn't have too many issues when I was younger, because I was a competitor. I did know the sport. I did know the fouls. So I think that I had that going for me.
And he had the factor that since you beat me last year, I'm just going to DQ you out of this race this year.
Right off the line, blowing the whistle, you're out of here.
Double fall, you're out. No, Dustin would never do that. He's too honest and too clean cut to do that. So you basically at an early on age went right to officiating only. And I think that makes you like in the 0.001% of the officiating crew, correct?
I guess it does. I mean, I started out being a runner for Mary. So running and posting the results, and that was early on, probably when I was 8-9 years old, just kind of being at the meets.
Yeah.
So my dad likes to say I was a referee first because I used to do that for Mary Almond all the time.
Yeah. And that's the thing we're missing. I mean, you know, here's the thing, and this off task, but if everybody doesn't want to be a trash collector, then no one's collecting the trash. Period.
Right.
You know, people want to make comments about fast food workers and whatever the mindset and the mentality of it. But the reality is if you didn't have a fast food worker, you couldn't get your fast food and not have to, you know, not make your own dinner. So,
right.
So the reality is you need everybody from every position. And that's amazing that you took that initiative early on to say, yeah, I love speed skating. I just don't like the work and the racing aspect of it, but I like the inside aspect, looking out and being able to be a part of it. That's awesome.
Right. And really, it's about, you meet so many great people growing up in the sport, and I just wanted to give back because I did get a lot of work ethic and things out of the sport that I think brought me to where I am today.
Yeah.
And that's also the people that brought me up. So I think I feel like I need to give back.
Yeah. Very good.
So you started off officiating at a young age. When did you start to realize, and when did other people start to realize, man, you know, Justin, you're pretty good at this. Let's bring you out and do this meet and this invitational and this regionals. When did that start to happen?
You know, I want to say, you know, Mary Almond has always been my biggest cheerleader. But Patty Lazier actually was the first one that said, you know, I think he could be a chief referee at one of my meets. And so she brought me in. It was either a St. Patrick's Day or a Halloween meet, can't remember which, but I was chief referee at her meet, and that was kind of the first time, I guess I would call that my breakout moment, where I was chief referee. I was still young. I think I was probably about 18, 19.
Oh, wow.
And I did pretty well. So, and then ever since then, I've been invited all over the country, which I'm really grateful for.
Wow.
What are some of the places you've been able to travel then? Like some of the farthest events you've gone out to?
He got to go to an amazing Wisconsin meet just last weekend.
Hey, there you go. Yes.
I've been to Wisconsin. I have been to Seattle. I've been to Florida, Texas. But the furthest, I think, is when I was actually invited to be the chief referee at the Canadian National Outdoor Championship.
What?
So that was in Toronto, I believe, and I was 21 at that point,
uh-huh.
Didn't know that I needed international reception or anything, so I was just trying to bum in Wi-Fi off of everybody because I had no idea that I wasn't going to have cell phone reception.
Yeah.
Now, how did that come about where you got contacted to go to Canada?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. They got my email somehow. I think it was through, at that point, Richard Hawkins, who was the executive director, and It was interesting. It was over 4th of July. So while everyone else was celebrating the birth of our country, I was in Canada.
Nice. So when you went to Canada, what was the best part of being in Canada for that competition? Was there a food? Was there a place you went to? Was it the competition itself? What was the best part of being there?
I think it was the competition itself and the people. The people were so nice. And since then, I've stayed in touch with probably about a handful of those individuals. They've come down to some of our meets that we hold in Trexlertown, and before that, some meets that we had in the New York, the Empire Racing Series. So they've come down and they've competed down here on our side of the border. So I think some of those relationships have helped bring people into the sport down in our neck of the woods.
Now, I'm sure you know Peter, correct?
I do.
Yeah, I mean, everyone
He's
knows Peter.
He's one of the ones that I've kept in touch with.
And what about Herb Gale? Do you know him as well?
Yes, I do.
Herb's an amazing guy. I met him for the first time in Duluth. He came and did the Duluth Marathon, and I actually met him there. We had a really long, I don't know, I guess, an hour and a half conversation, and he really thought the world of Christian. So he was talking to Christian and I, and I believe he comes down and does some of your dad's events sometimes, doesn't he?
Yep, he does. He's one of the ones that comes down to Trixler Town, and it's a long drive for them, long trip, but they come down because they love the sport. They love to skate.
Yeah, I know, and again, I don't want to leave anyone out because there's such a, I mean, obviously in Canada, the skating is just super strong, but guys like Peter and Herb, these are guys that I met as I got started, and they were always so welcoming and accommodating and gave me a lot of knowledge and helped me out in a lot of situations. And I always remember, this was in Montreal. We were doing the Défi Montreal in 2004, and I'd always admired Peter because he was such a strong, and he still is such a strong speed skater. And all of a sudden, I'm in a pack with him.
Wow.
And I'm like, I took a picture. I had one of those, you know, the disposable cameras at the time, because, you know, 2004 was when this was. I'm like, I told him, I said, I got to take a picture of this because this is unbelievable that, you know, that we're here hanging out and having a good time skating together. It was great. So, and yeah, those are the guys that will always make a trip down to like Trexler Town or to the Empire Series and whatnot.
You know, not to jump off task, but that's something, if you really, truly think about it, in our sport compared to other sports, just hearing what you said, it's not uncommon for you to be in a venue or an event with like a Peter Michael or Bart Swings or Joey Mantilla and to actually have a conversation with these guys. And any other professional sport, in a sense of football, basketball, I can't imagine Shaquille O'Neal just sitting down with anybody from the stands and having dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where it seems like in our sport, even though you reach the pinnacle of the top, you kind of don't lose sight of the bottom, so to speak, and where you came from. But anyways, so back to the officiating, that's pretty cool. Was you a contributing role? Did you make any decisions over there that everybody was like, "Oh, the Americans screwing us"?
No, you know, it went pretty smooth. It was no drama. I mean, that's the way I like a meet to go, little drama. So it went really smoothly.
Yeah.
Did you have poutine when you were there?
I can't remember. I don't think so.
Because that's the one thing I always recommend, if you get back there, make sure you have some poutine. Yeah, a trip to Canada is not complete without poutine and Tim Hortons.
Okay.
Although Tim Hortons is here in the States now, but you got to, you know, it used to be Tim Hortons. You got to go to Canada to get yourself some Tim Hortons.
Nice. So, what's on the horizon right now for you? I want to get into regionals, but I want to get to that probably later. So what's on the horizon right now? Where are you going next?
So, you know, personally, I'm getting married in 24 days.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes. Joining the ranks of the married man, and yes.
Exactly. And I'm excited about it. I'm super excited about it. I'm getting married in Scotland in 24 days. So I'll be probably out of commission for probably the rest of the competitive season. And so you'll probably see me back in kind of October, November in the stripes. But
gotcha.
Yeah.
So no nationals.
No nationals for me. Not this year.
Okay. Hey, so I'm going to bring up a low part probably of your career.
Uh-oh. Okay.
But this was fun. No, this was funny from the spectator's side of it. For him, not so funny.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Was you the official that made the call on Michael Cheeks on the relay when he did the one-lap re-entry? It was a couple nationals ago. And Michael Cheeks had a partner that was kind of struggling a little bit in a senior two man. And he literally did a tag in and back out in one lap. And an official blew him off. And I thought it was you.
I don't think it was me, because I haven't, before this past year, I haven't been at National since 2011.
And okay.
So I don't think it was me.
Maybe it was somebody. So do you remember hearing about that?
I heard about it. I did hear about it. We hear, you know, the officiating community is so small, we do hear about it.
Yeah.
And that's one of those mistakes that people make all the time, because they forget the whole 1-5 rule in the sophomore and the senior.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to do it at the biggest stage at the national championship. So
right.
It's a heartbreaker to do that.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing of it was, is from the spectator's point of view, you know, everybody's watching. It's kind of mundane. Shove, relay, skate. Shove, relay, skate. And everybody's going around. And Cheeks shoves and sprints in the box and comes right back. I mean, he literally just did like a U-turn right through the box and right back out, takes a shove on that one lap shove, and he's right back in the mix. And the official rolls right over, and everybody's like, no, 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 oh, no, that's not a bad tag. That was perfect. Oh, and it was one of those crucial moments, probably no different than Harry Vogel at Outdoor Nationals last year when he caught the field by surprise and ran out and started collecting all those points, and the officials had an official error. They didn't catch Harry out in front, and they didn't give him any points. So
yeah, I heard about that one too. But we're human. We make mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely, you are, and obviously you got to make it right. So, but yeah, when that happened, that was like the biggest letdown, because it was a super awesome comeback move by Cheeks to do that, and then just ruined the whole relay basically.
Right.
So, anyways, I thought that was you, and I was going to give you some crap. That ruined that.
I'm sure he's got more grief to give you here a little bit down the road, because he was mentioning to me something he wanted to bring up from regionals from not too long ago. What do you see? Because here we are, and we talk a lot about the future of speed skating, and we get a chance to talk to a lot of the athletes, but now we get a chance to talk to an official. So I'm wondering, as you see things we can do as a sport to improve, areas you think we need to improve, and what do you think the future holds for inline speed skating here in the States?
Yeah, I think for me, from my vantage point, I think we need to, and I think others have brought this up before, we need to get in line with technology. Coach and I were talking at regionals about we need to get some sort of video replay, and it doesn't have to be super expensive. But we have to have a check and balance almost for the officials. The officials are human. We make mistakes. And, I think there's a certain part of the judgment factor that you want to keep in the sport. But at the same time, you want to have a checks and balance for when you get it wrong. And we do. Sometimes we get it wrong. So I would say one of the biggest things we need to do as a sport, as an organization, as a community, is get up to speed with technology. And the first thing I think is video replay.
And yeah, you're talking about how basically every major sport has it at this point, where whether it's basketball, maybe a last second shot where they can review it, or if the foot was on the 3-point line, or in football, or in baseball, or in tennis.
Right.
I know there's cost involved, and let's be honest, there's not a lot of money to go around, but it is 2017, and maybe it's something we've got to be able to get on board with.
Yeah, but the question I guess I would pose to that, and I think the outside looking in theory would be, Justin's probably, even though he's getting older, he's still probably one of the youngest officials that are out there that's officiating at the level in which he's officiating at. And it seems like the officiating staff is kind of your old guard. And, I got guys at work that I work with that are older guys that refuse to do anything with email because it's the devil's child. It's tainted, and it's, conspiracy theory of technology. And I almost wonder if it's one of those things where, is there a fear of change? Is there that fear?
Yeah, there might be. I always look at it when I think about the NFL, and I'm watching football, and the announcers will always go, let's go to the booth and talk to whoever that guy is that gives officiating advice.
Yeah.
There's still a space for that, for people to give advice and to be interactive. I think that, regardless of if you've been officiating for 2 years or 25 years, there still will be a space for you. You just have to find it. It might not be rolling on the track anymore, and that's okay. But you need to figure out, if you want to still give back, in what way would you give back?
Right. And, I didn't even think about that. I mean, when you start getting into some of the gentlemen and ladies that are out there fishing, have been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years, and they're up into their 60s or 70s, maybe watching a screen is a great asset, as opposed to actually physically being on the floor on your feet. Being able to see it from the vantage point and make a call, a really good call, actually, if you think about it, because you have an opportunity to really focus on a lot of stuff and not really pay attention, so to speak, to the race, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, that's why I could never be an official. I'll be honest with you, Justin. I could never be an official. And here's why. And it's nothing against you or any other black and white stripe, because I can appreciate what you guys do. I'm too much of a fan of racing that I would never make a call. I would just be like, oh man, that was Ooh, that was a tight little bomb pass that you just wrote everybody out and knocked the whole field down. But it was so amazing.
The crowd loved it.
Everybody's going crazy. I'm just like, yes. And I'm pointing my finger. He's the number one guy. You know, he went from fifth to first and took everybody out in the field. But so what? He did it. It's awesome. So I could never make that call.
That is awesome.
He said I would love
to
do that.
We're going to keep him away from the striped shirt. We have to keep Coach away from the striped shirt.
Could you imagine I show up at a meet, any meet, in black and white stripes? They're like, I'm bomb passing right away because he's not calling it.
We'll get away with everything.
I almost want to see it. I almost want
to see it. Be a free-for-all. Now, have you found, Justin, that things are getting more difficult to call because of how the speed in the sport is picking up? Because it seems like things are moving right now in the sport faster than ever. Our athletes are faster than ever. Is that making it more challenging for you?
Yeah, it does make it challenging. And I'll give you an example. I was talking to Coach about it again this past weekend. A straddle is becoming harder and harder to call. Because just the athletes are going so fast, and you really can't tell if their wheels are down or not. And so the vast majority of the time, we find ourselves, was their foot on the floor? I don't really know if their foot was on the floor. We have to let it go. Unless we can see, you know, they straddled and they gained position from it, we have to let a lot of some of those smaller technical things go just because they're moving so quickly.
Yeah, I can't even imagine because I would think, as I've watched a lot of our quad skaters fly around the rink, and they're moving quick. Now, all of a sudden, you got a group of skaters that are on 125 millimeter wheels that are flying around these rinks, and you've got to not only see it, but then make a call almost instantaneously. That,
right.
I'm leaving that to you guys. I am totally, the coach may want to get involved doing that. I'm walking away. That is tough.
Right.
And so, and we wanted to also, as Coach had alluded to, we're fresh off of Great Lakes Region Regionals, and you were there officiating, and Coach was telling me before we sat down for this episode of Skate Talk that there was something that involved you at Regionals this past weekend. So, Coach, maybe you can set this up a little better than me, because you were actually there.
So, the situation as it unfolded was, and I'm just going to tell it from the outside, my side looking in, and if Justin sees it differently, I'm always open for that. But from the outside looking in, Justin made a call early on and ultimately reversed his call on his own. And it kind of made me it blew my mind a little bit, and it really gave me a whole, I've always respected Justin, but it took Justin to a whole nother level of respect for me, because I saw for the first time, truthfully ever, an official basically say, I screwed up. And officials don't like to say that. I mean, they don't want to be wrong. So a lot of times I think they are too prideful to say that they were wrong and admit wrong. And they just accept basically a bad call. And it was a situation of heats. We had uneven heats because of scratches, 5 and 3. Everybody wanted to reheat to 4 and 4, and Justin's call was, no, once the heats are established, I can't reschedule everybody, because that would mean I'm reshuffling people and not changing heats. The heats didn't change. There's still 2 heats. I can't change it. Well, after reading the rules a little further, the race had already ran. He had found out that, in fact, that's a national rule, not a regional level rule. So he reversed that call later on and said, from here out, we will resort these heats to make them even 4 and 4 instead of 5 and 3. And that was kind of humbling to me, to see that we had an official that actually said, I am wrong and I'm going to correct that. And I honestly have never seen an official do that. So I applaud you, Justin. That was amazing.
I appreciate that. You know, it comes down to the core of why do you need me as a referee at an event? It's to make sure that I'm upholding the rules and I'm doing the absolute best for the competitors. And, you know, Denise and I sat down and we looked at the rule book and we said, you know what, yep, I was wrong. And so I had to bring the coaches together and say, you know, I was wrong. This is what the rule says. And so, you know, coaches, we have an option here. We can go this way or that way. And ultimately, you know, as a group, we decided to move forward in a specific way. For me, my job is to make sure that I am doing what's best for the competitors. And the minute I stop doing that, I stop doing my job. And so it's on me to say, you know what, I was wrong. I didn't do the right thing. I should have really done this. It's on me to fix it. And, you know, if I get egg on my face, that's fine. You know, hopefully I'll be better for it next time.
Now, go ahead, Coach.
I was just going to say, I feel like And not mentioning names because it doesn't really matter, but I just feel like there's some officials that would say, I don't care how you read the rule, this is how I read it and interpret it, and I'm going to go with this because I don't want to be wrong. You know, I don't
want... And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
And I feel like there's some officials that would make that... No different than... And, you know, here's the reality is officials are people. Just like skaters are people. There's some skaters that absolutely skate as clean as possible. I know for a fact that me, myself, as a skater... If you didn't make a call on me, I would go up to Justin and go, I can't believe you didn't call that. I would go to him and say, I rode this guy out. Well, I didn't see it that way. I did it. I know I did it because I did it on purpose. You know, I knew I couldn't get by, but I wasn't going to settle. And I went for it and you just didn't see it or for whatever reason didn't catch it. I would be, I'm too honest of a person. I would have to say I did that. Where I think there's you know, there's some officials, just like there's some athletes that would run you to the wall, they would pull your hips or twist you, and they, you know, again, there's no such thing as a foul until it's called.
Right.
So, and I think that there's officials that are kind of that way, you know they made a mistake or whatever, and that's why I think there's such a discrepancy with the video replay, because video replay now challenges the officials and holds them accountable, and a lot of people don't like being held accountable.
That's true.
So that's kind of my opinions and thoughts. Man, I just got real serious there. Did you guys hear
I know,
that?
Man.
That's
wow.
That's so unlike me.
That is. That's unlike Coach. Coach only gets that serious at practice when he's yelling at us for the multitude of things we're doing wrong. So I'm curious about this, Justin, as an athlete talking to an official.
Uh-oh.
If I said to you, okay, what is the one thing you see athletes do wrong the most, whether it be ride outs or the straddling or whatnot, what would you say to that? If I said, man, I feel like, you know, I'm breaking this rule or that rule, what's like the most common thing that you see broken by an athlete, and what would you tell an athlete from an official to an athlete? What would you say to them?
You know, it would actually be something a little bit different than what you kind of use as your example, and that would be sportsmanship. I've seen our sport go from a place of we have ladies and gentlemen out there to we have people that, you know, sometimes lose their cool, sometimes go a little bit wild, sometimes use the wrong type of language around small children. And so I would say, who do you want to be, both on and off the floor? And so I would challenge folks, young, old, 18, 25, whatever, who do you want to be and who do you want people to look at you as a competitor and as an athlete? Never mind what you're doing in that moment, but how do you want to be perceived after that? I see that we really need to focus on bringing the sportsmanship back to our sport, and I am one of those people, one of those officials that has a zero tolerance policy for it. If you have someone who throws their helmet or you know comes out of the side of their face, I don't have any tolerance for that, and I have been known to remove people from meets for that because I think it's so important. Because I think we're not just building good skaters. I think we're building good men, good women, good CEOs, hopefully someday, good church leaders, good whatever.
Amen.
I think we're a training ground to really build good people, and we need to focus on that more.
So what's it like? You toss a skater out of a meet for language, for conduct, whatever. Obviously, you're going to see this skater again. Has that skater ever approached you and apologized for their behavior? What's that interaction like when you see them again?
Here's the thing. When I see a competitor do something that I think is unsportsmanlike, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to give them a race or two to cool down. And I'm going to talk to them. And if they know in that moment that they did something wrong and they want to apologize in that moment, then you know what? No harm, no foul. I'm going to let that go. I'm going to give you a stern warning. I'm going to let it go. But if they're still mad and they're still being adamant that they didn't do anything wrong, then in that moment, they're gone. And, you know, hopefully at that next meet, you know, we can put that behind us. I always do. I come into every meet fresh, with fresh eyes and a fresh sense of purpose. And so if they want to hold that grudge, that's on them, because I don't hold grudges from meet to meet. I don't even hold grudges from race to race.
Have you had maybe an apology at the next meet where meet happens, athlete's upset, he's throwing things, and he's asked to leave, and then he comes back, you know, a month later and sees you and says, hey, look, I was so out of line when that happened. I'm sorry. Do you get things like that?
I have. I've gotten that before.
Good.
You know, they've gone to the parking lot and they've come back in the building later, maybe after the meet's over for that day, and they've apologized. You know, there's nothing but respect for those people. Nothing but respect for those athletes. And I think they're learning really great lessons by doing that.
So put you on the hot seat, because this is a hot topic. Rolling or standing? Which do you prefer?
Rolling.
Why?
I'm rolling all the way. And here's the thing. I have compromised. This last year at Nationals, I think, was the best officiating I've seen since I was there in 2011, both, you know, watching it firsthand or watching it via the live feed. And here's why. It was a compromise between the two, and we did both of them seamlessly. But if I had my way, we'd go back to rolling. And the reason for that is, number one, safety. I think it's safer perhaps to have someone on skates to be able to move skaters over and to talk to the skaters. I talk to the skaters quite a bit during the race because I want them to know what's happening, and to sometimes if the leader's way far out in front, I'll ask them, are you going to lap the field again, or what are you going to do? So I like to be able to talk to the skaters.
Yeah.
You can't do that by standing.
Right.
And I also think from a competitor's perspective, you see the whole continuity of the race. And so if something occurs at cone 2 and progresses all the way to cone 3, the referee at cone 3 who's standing will want to call maybe the person who got something done to them
the retaliation,
the foul. So I think that the continuity of the race is lost by a standing official. Now,
yeah.
I will say I've seen it done really, really well. I've seen all standing done really, really well, but I think the best case for our sport is a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Rolling on the inside, standing on the outside.
Yeah, and that was the response. I've talked to Jim Larson about this multiple times, and his comment was exactly what you just said, was you actually lose the dynamics of the race, because when there's two athletes that are kind of battling, I think as an official, if two athletes are really battling, you kind of let some of the quote-unquote ticky-tack fouls go, because they're both skating hard, they're both racing hard. So you're mindful of that, whereas you're waiting for the big hard foul, because that's the one that you got to call. But
right.
But if you're just standing in a corner and they come around, you don't see the ticky-tack elevation. Next thing you know, you're calling something that the next referee let go on the other guy.
Right.
So
right.
So I agree with that. And I think also, like you said, the moving over and the disqualification. We had a situation that happened at regionals, by the way, which I had to ask Justin about because I was unclear of the rule and how it actually worked. But my athlete had actually gotten or was going to be DQ'd in pylon 3, let's say. He was going to be DQ'd. And then in pylon 1, the athlete that my athlete had had an offense against created an offense against my athlete. Well, my athlete had not been disqualified yet, so they're still actively a part of the race. Both athletes got disqualified.
Right.
When, you know, on a rolling official, you've seen that. He's DQ'd coming out of 4, or he's DQ'd coming out of 2.
Right.
I mean, you're getting them right away. They're getting DQ'd. It's not a lap later or two laps later when we finally can get to them. And not
right.
only that, I mean, I'm going to be honest. As a coach, I tell all my athletes, and I'm going to let you know, I did give Zach a bunch of crap because he got DQ'd and he pretty much got out right away. But I tell my athletes, you don't leave the floor unless you know 100% it's you.
Right.
Do not leave the floor. Because the reason
right.
why is, how many times have you seen that where you go to blow an athlete out, there's two athletes or three athletes there, and the wrong person moves over. It's like, oh my
right.
God. You know, and what do? I mean, you blew out the person that was supposed to be blown out, but the wrong person actually stepped over. Now you caused the wrong person, but you didn't really cause them. They did. They quit on a race
right.
that they should not have quit on. So,
right.
you know, I tell my athletes.
And I respect that. I respect
yeah.
that.
And it's not a disrespect thing against the officials. It's I'm here to compete.
Nope.
And if I don't know 100%, I want an official to have his finger right in my nose screaming at me, get off. And I'm not going to be offended that you yelled at me. I'm going to be more like, okay, thank you for making it clear that it was me. So.
Exactly. I respect that.
Yeah.
You know, my sister does the same thing. So.
Yeah.
She gets qualified that often, but when she does, she waits.
Yeah. And can you believe, Justin, it's been a half hour on this interview already? Can you believe that?
I can't. It flew by.
It does fly by. It goes by super quick. And Justin, what we always do is we always invite any of our guests Anytime you want to come back, you reach out to us. We will schedule you in. I know, though, you do have a few life-changing events coming up here over the next little bit. So once you settle back into the officiating in the fall, we'd love to have you back. But from all of us here at Skate Talk, congratulations on the wedding. That is fantastic.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Amazing. That. Tell your beautiful bride-to-be that we say congratulations to her as well. Would you like to give a shout-out to Jasmine getting ready to go to Nationals?
Good luck, Jasmine. I love you, and I know you'll do great.
Awesome.
Fantastic. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.